Hey kids, you're about to listen to a comedy podcast. That means that none of this is medical advice. If you need medical advice or medical care, please contact your doctor.
Welcome to the Jock Doc Podcast,
where we discuss fitness and health and how to incorporate our modern understanding of science and medicine into our daily lives, but without it being so boring. I'm your host, DrLondonSmith.com. I'd like to begin by apologizing to our listeners. We received some feedback about the excessive amount of technical medical terms that I've been using, such as oxymetazoline and under the weather. So I'll try to temper my terminology to a simpler one in the future. Here to help with that is our producer, Cameron.
Dr. London, it is the month of March, the third month of the year, and that can only mean one thing: March Madness.
Okay.
That is the time of year when the god of basketball, of college basketball, comes down from the heavens, then forces these poor, poor, unpaid college students to compete to the death in order to crown one the victor. And Dr. Lennon, I know, this is a medical podcast, but it's also the Jock Doc podcast. This is also a sports and fitness podcast as well. And Dr. London, I have been watching you lately shoot some hoops.
I mean, not directly, but yeah, I've been trying to shoot at near it. Yeah. They've really been limiting the amount of rifles I'm allowed to bring to the range or court, whatever you want to call it.
No, and this is your entire like Olympic game thing where you think you're going to combine sort of skeet shooting along with basketball, just in the same way that there's like in the Winter Olympics, there's like shooting on skis and weird stuff like that. I don't think that's going to take off this year, but I think 2028 is definitely a possibility.
I mean,
2028, I believe, is in Los Angeles. Dr. London is still on location in Los Angeles right now. If you could maybe start spreading that.
I've been shooting
around
a lot of balls out here, if that's what you mean.
No. Well, that is sort of what I mean. When I say spreading that seed, I mean you need to be getting it on with the various ladies of Los Angeles, and then each, after you give them the absolute greatest loving of their life, you say, hey, you know what would be really cool is this sport that I invented. It's you shoot with a gun while you play basketball.
Okay, so...
And then eventually one of those will be like a famous producer or friends with someone or whatever.
Because that's been my pickup line usually, is saying, I've got this sport. It's where I go to the basketball courts and I shoot the balls.
That's even better than they already know. You don't even have to tell them. But Dr. London, I was thinking that maybe we could give some of our listeners some crazy and awesome basketball tips. Because besides the gun shooting basketball game that you invented, you've also been doing more traditional basketball for exercise.
Yeah. So first tip I would have for that, and this is like because you do want exercise to be part of it, you want to bring a range of sizes of balls. Because basketballs are the traditional way, but if you want to up your game, you want to have from the smallest to the largest. So you'll start out with golf balls. Those go in the hoop super easily. They're easier to throw, I think. Harder to dribble, I've learned. But
much harder to dribble, but also, if no one's watching, then like, here's the thing. When you're exercising, if there's not a ref around, no one's going to call you on committing that foul. You know what I mean? No one's going to do it. No one's that rule violation. No one's going to see it. Now, if you're practicing, you're in your backyard and the neighborhood ref is hanging out, he's keeping an eye on you, you might not use a golf ball that day. You might want to opt for a tennis ball, which is slightly bouncier. You can definitely sort of dribble with that.
We have different schools of thought on this, because I think that my tip number two would actually be bring a big hefty bribe for that referee, because that's really what you're going to need to do. Like, if you change how you play, you're going to get worse at playing, so you do want to bribe that referee. It's usually someone with wearing like white and black stripes, so you'll just pay them however much money, and then just say, like, let me do this. And sometimes they don't seem to care. So
that's basketball tip number one.
No, that's two. That was two.
Oh, that was two. The bribe, I would say, was also two. Oh, 2A would be, if you want to skip the bribe, then have the referee be your dad. This is a general tip for life. Let's say if you want something in life, you want to be a famous actor. You can do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, go to college, take these classes, blah, blah, blah. Or you could just have your dad be a famous actor.
Yeah. Which, like, it can let you act a little bit, but only as much as you feel like it. You don't have to go through all the, like, difficult parts of the business. And, like, you can also already be rich.
You've already had a difficult life because your dad is, you know, this insane referee man who's sneaking in and out of houses with chains attached to his legs.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on my worst frenemy.
So that's tip three. I'm going to say tip four is no girls. No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. Yeah. Thank you.
That should be easy. I've never had to enforce that. There have not been any girls who have offered to, like, play basketball with me or want to play basketball with me. And of course, if someone did, this rule would probably change. I'd probably change my mind.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, for sure. Oh, can you imagine? Anyway, so those are all the basketball rule tips. That's our producer, Cameron. And last week we also introduced the nominees for the Jock Doc podcast pet. And we told you all back then that it would be really funny because we would remember it and do a callback of remembering it. So this is us being that much funnier because it's even later that we remembered it. So,
and who is it we're going to reveal later?
Can I reveal the nominees? Or you want to wait for
that? Yeah, the nominees again. Yes. No, the nominees again.
Our harpoon gun, cockroach, and five cats stacked on top of a Guinness Book of World Records. So get your votes in. Get your tally. Tally the... Do that. And later, Cameron tells me that we have an incredible guest.
So I've heard, Dr. London.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I know you've been by the water coolers. You've been listening. But before we move on, I would like to address a bit of listener feedback. For a long time, our listener demographic was primarily composed of peasants rising up against the aristocracy, but super ironically, like, because, like, they're kind of, they don't want to seem like they're overdoing it and being all passionate, like it's, you know, only during election year kind of thing. But in our efforts to cater to them, we found that we were neglecting the many bot accounts that download our podcast. So this is a comment on TikTok on our response to, "I'm confused, are we talking about wokeism or what?" And this comes from user at Apple user 83749770. They said, quote, "But is gooning the new meta?" So that's a really insightful question. So Meta is a company, like a corporation that has Instagram and Facebook, if I'm not mistaken. So if gooning is the new meta, they're asking if it is the new meta. Mark Zuckerberg hasn't been answering my calls about this.
No, we've been asking Mark for a while if he is a gooner and if he is someone who sort of goons himself in any given time of the day.
Yeah, just because is it the new meta? Like, we've been asking the same question, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Right, because if, like, isn't this what the metaverse is going to be? If the metaverse is not us sort of experiencing Mark Zuckerberg's, you know, sort of gooning experience, then what are we doing? Where am I?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just in Tron. It's just Tron. I already did that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the remake as well. So, which, and I don't want to disparage the remake or anything, because obviously that's, you know, it's up for all the awards finally now. But yeah, to address this, I'd say, well, I haven't been... Mark won't talk to me anymore, is really what it comes down to. Like, we had these questions for him, but Mark has been so... He says he's busy, but, like, I see him at the grocery store and, like, really taking his time studying the, like, you know, between two different brands of toothpaste and, like, you know, trying to say, oh, this is for sensitive teeth, this is for whitening. Like, I've heard him say this stuff out loud, and I'm like, hey, what about gooning in the new meta? And then he looks at me for a second, he's like, oh, and he walks away. So...
Ugh, typical KG Mark.
Yeah, so I...
Someone should check out his programming. Yeah. I think it's messed up.
Because...
he's a robot.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope that answers your question. Thank you so much for that feedback. That's really helpful, and that's going to help us tailor our content to your thing. Now for today's medical topic, poliomyelitis. Poliomyelitis is a condition caused by the poliovirus. Poliovirus affects the anterior horn cells and motor neurons of the spinal cord and brainstem, causing lower motor neuron involvement. Characteristic features of poliomyelitis include asymmetric muscle weakness, with the legs more commonly involved. Patients also have absent deep tendon reflexes, flaccid atrophic muscles, but normal sensations, so they can feel. They're just, their muscles aren't working properly. Involvement of cranial nerves 9 and...
If you actually have it, not like the faker FDR.
Okay. I knew this. Okay. So Cameron's a history buff. And like, I don't think you can tell just from picture. Like, how are you deciding that he's faking polio?
Because he invested so much money. I have really, really good intel that he invested so much money in the blanket industry, in Big Blanket, essentially.
Right, which is famously
spread.
And
it's sort of a back and forth, right? He invests a lot of money in it, and also Big Blanket is sort of, you know, has their hands in his pockets as well, being like, yeah, let's give you some money if you, you know, wear this this cool blanket all the time. Blanket sales went through the roof. That, if you look at the year that FDR, you know, started showing off those blankets all the time, right? You compare the numbers from that summer to then that winter, and the winter sales skyrocketed.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's great. And like, yes, I admit that they're like, you know, conspiracies can be real things, that especially if there's money involved, people do get greedy. I feel like polio would be an annoying thing to be faking as well. I don't know.
Have you ever seen The Prestige, Dr. London?
Yeah, with the guy going swimming, right? Guy goes swimming in it.
Christian Bale's brother cut off his hand so that he could be identical twins with Christian Bale. And you're telling me that FDR couldn't sit down for a while? He was an old man. You don't think he was kind of happy to just sit down in public?
Yeah. No, you're right. Prestige is a good example of what could really happen. So for patients with polio, involvement of cranial nerves 9 and 10 can lead to respiratory and cardiovascular impairment. There's no treatment available, though poliomyelitis is entirely preventable by vaccination. So if you haven't gotten your polio vaccination, I would recommend it, because this is like a needless, you don't have to have this condition. It's pretty preventable.
So. And also, you can just buy blankets. You can just buy blankets and you can wear them and just wear them around and carry them around. And you don't have to go to these great lengths to support this corrupt industry.
No, and I don't want to downplay how serious it is. I do feel like it's not a current conspiracy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not as trendy now. Like this.
Oh, yeah. And I know. I forgot that you only care about what's trending.
All right, Cameron, you said that we have a special guest today. Is that right?
That's right, Dr. Lennon. We have a very exciting guest. You want to meet them?
Yeah. Oh, well, hello there. My name is DrLennonSmith.com. The sub-producer, Cameron. And am I mistaken? Are you, you seem of high rank. Is that?
That's right. I am a captain of a ship that sails all around the world.
Oh, wow.
Magellan?
No, you might have heard of me. The name is Crunch. Captain Crunch.
No way. The Captain Crunch. The Captain Crunch. Like, The one of from the famous Oops All Berries factory accident that killed my grandmother.
Look, the lawyers told me it was not our fault. It was just a split wire in the electric. You got me there, sir. I'm sorry about your grandmother, but I swear it's not our fault.
It's fine. I hated her anyway. It's whatever.
It's all behind me now, okay? It's all behind me now. I'm focusing my attentions on a new lifestyle, a new path. I sold the company. No longer am I focusing on cereal. I'm now focusing on a special lifestyle. Polyamory.
The cereal's kind of what I know you for.
Polyamory. I'm a sex mascot. You don't see a lot of those these days.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you're focusing on promoting polyamory, not just focused on the like sexual aspect.
Correct. I'm promoting polyamory because it's all part of a balanced sexual diet. Just like my cereal.
Okay.
You have a variety. You got Captain Crunch Original, Peanut Butter Captain Crunch, and of course, Oops All Berries. Sorry for your grandmother.
There were too many berries. I'm sorry. Someone had to say it.
Somebody had to. And it was a blessing in disguise, and now here I am promoting orgasms for everyone, orgasms for you, Doctor, orgasms for you, Cameron, and orgasms for the elderly. Because us elderly need loving, too.
How old are you?
I am 72 years old. I was born in 1948. The math's going against.
Ish, yeah.
It's whatever, yeah.
It's whatever.
You know, you have such a legacy in cereal. Like, I know that you're here to promote the polyamory, but, like, I grew up with the cereal. That's kind of what I'm interested in hearing about the most. Like, we can get to the other stuff, but, like, you know, what was it like to get to make Crunch Bear? You know, like, I remember the innovation, because first it was the regular Captain Crunch, and then I remember you introduced the Crunch Berries, and like that, I know for me that was a big moment. That's like kind of what made me decide to be a doctor.
I discovered the Crunch Berry when I was on a trip to Madagascar. I was deep in the woods, and I was walking around, and I was tripping on these other little mushrooms that I found 5 minutes earlier. And I looked, and in the distance there's these blue and purple berries, and I couldn't stop looking at them. And when I went to go grab them, I reached for one and I took a bite. And it didn't just squirt in my mouth like a normal berry. It crunched. And that's, yes. And that's what I had the idea. Crunch berries in Captain Crunch cereal. And now I implement regular berries into lovemaking with the elderly. They love it. They put it between their gums. They take their teeth out. They put the little berry in there. It's amazing.
Did you ever figure out what you actually crunched on when you were in the forest or whatever, tripping on shrooms?
The Lord works in
because, you know, it probably wasn't a crunchy berry. It was probably like a bug or something, right?
You think it was a bug? You think Captain Crunch eats bugs?
When you're tripping, like,
it was probably a bug. It was probably, yeah, you know what? Fine. I admit it. Okay. It was probably a bug. I mean, Madagascar is known for so many different bugs. But I'm not a bug expert. I am a serial polyamorous berry expert. I don't know nothing about bugs.
No, Mr. Crunch, I appreciate how reasonable you're being. At first you were so defensive at the suggestion that you ate a bug, and then when I was like, well, maybe you did, you're kind of like, you know.
You know, in my old age,
I love that.
Thank you. I've been learning to just accept things. I get really tense up, you know, that's why I'm so short. Remember the story about Peter Pan, the guy who wrote Peter Pan? Do you know how he was like, they say he was so nervous all the time because his mom was basically angry all the time about his older brother dying, that he would never grow up. And so he wrote a whole story about boys. Anyway, that's me. That's why I never grew past 4'11".
I was so scared that you were going to turn that into a polyamory thing again. So I'm glad that we were staying on this track of, okay, you have this inner youthfulness.
Well, I mean, we can be real here for a second. You know, it is 2024, and we can say, Yes, the Lost Boys and Peter Pan were, of course, in a polyamorous relationship. All, like, 15 of them.
Non-sexual. It was more like a family-oriented boys will be boys hanging out. Peter Pan's gonna play with you.
I mean, exactly. Exactly. Boys will be boys. Peter Pan's gonna play with you. Just a bunch of boys hanging out. It's a polyamorous relationship. I think it's a polycule.
It's a polycule. One of the first. Kind of like me and the other mascots. That's why we're all boys. Have you ever seen a female mascot?
Wow.
Okay, hold on. Let me trying to imagine.
See. You know, Elmer Glue has that cow, and cows are girls.
Was that a cow? Elmer Glue was a girl cow?
I mean, I assume, right?
I can't think of one female mascot. Oh, I guess Mrs. Buttersworth, I guess. Oh, she isn't cow because she's maple syrup. You want something with milk in it.
Then there's, you know, Aunt Jemima, which was racist. So that's probably not a great example.
Us brainstorming is just leading us to an answer to the question. But okay, so it's mostly guys, I guess is your point.
Mostly guys. That's right. I mean, look, it's okay. Look, Captain Crunch, he don't judge. All right. He loves every creature. He loves every boy, every girl, every woman. It's one of those things I don't like to feel limited by who I can love and who I can express my genuine feelings for.
Okay.
And sometimes men, they just know how to suck a good
Are you you're in a polyamorous relationship with the other cereal mascots, all of you together? So like you, Boo Berry,
Count Chocula,
yeah. The Flintstones,
Buzz the Bee, oh yeah, Frankenberry, Tony the Tiger, oh my god, Tony
the Honeycombs monster, that little like ball thing of fur that goes me one honeycomb.
Yeah, that guy, oh god.
You have sex with that thing?
I'd more like put my head on him like a pillow.
Okay, that's cute. Yeah, it's I guess I'm sexualizing it. It doesn't have to be so sexual. It can be, you know, asexual. It can be platonic.
Exactly. But in the end, after I put my head on him like a pillow, we do have sex. It's a simple, there's sex involved.
But you don't have to, like, insist on it. Like, okay, that's... I just feel like, and like, sorry to keep going back to it, but you know, there's such a rich history with the cereal, and you know, like, I feel like they're, for one thing, you talk about it like it's a career change, but like, are you getting paid? Because I know you were the distributor for the, you know, you invented and produced and distributed Captain Crunch the cereal.
Yeah, I'm concerned about this as well. I'm not sure you're going to make the income you need to sustain your lifestyle pivoting to a professional, like, poly promoter.
Right. I'm sorry. Am I on Shark Tank right now? I thought I was on a thing about healthy lifestyles.
Yeah, no. We like to, you know, actually interview our guests and not just do puff pieces, but actually get to know them and get to the answer the questions people might have.
Fair point. I mean, I will say Dr. London does look like a young Mark Cuban. No, you're right. Absolutely. I understand you. That's a valid concern. Making money financially is a big thing. But guess what? The 90s, it was lawless. Everyone was eating cereal. There was no Kashi back then. There was no Kellogg's healthy options. Everyone was eating cereal and Pop-Tarts. All right? I made so much money. I could retire and I'm fine. I'll be fine the rest of my life. Just to answer your question. Didn't mean to get so offensive. I'm just...
Yeah, you're very ready to be past this topic, but...
In the name of journalistic integrity, I have to ask a question that I know that every audience member is wondering right now. And it's the, you know, the Trix Rabbit, the Lucky Charms Leprechaun. You guys, you Eiffel Tower, like, what's the three of you are going at it. What's that look like?
So the Trix Rabbit And wait, what was the other one? My brain was...
The Lucky Charms Leprechaun.
Oh, Lucky Charms, yes. So he and I are the same height. The rabbit is actually much taller than us. So we try to hide... It's actually pretty funny because we keep trying to... The rabbit will be in the middle and we'll try to high-five each other. And it's so funny because we can't reach each other. And we kind of do it for... So it gets more comical.
Yeah, your whole polycule seems like a big ball of fun.
Oh, it's great. I mean, we welcome everybody. You know, it's fun to have sex with your friends. That's
Oh, wait, sorry. When you say you welcome everybody, it does sound like it's all like cereal mascots.
Yeah, as of right now, it's exclusively cereal mascots. We did try to bring in a Pop-Tart at one point, but Frankenberry, unfortunately, he took a bite out of him, and so it was, I don't know, it was a strawberry Pop-Tart. That's the problem. You can't mix strawberry Pop-Tarts with Frankenberry. He loves berries.
And you can't, you know, he has the IQ of a child, basically. Like, you can't really blame him for his actions. He's a dead body that was reanimated. Like, he has limited agency.
Good point. I was going to say, you know, he's kind of like, well, I mean, he does, but have you seen the movie The Poor Things? That's what this is, okay? He's kind of like a poor thing situation.
Oh, wow. He's like just sort of banging Mark Ruffalo left and right.
Right. He wishes he was banging Mark Ruffalo.
So he's just being taken advantage by every, you know, sort of fancy man who comes by. In this case, other cereal mascots, it sounds like.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like the healthiest thing, does it?
Society in the 90s found it very acceptable to bang adult Frankenstein creatures that have the mind... that aren't fully developed minds yet, if that's how I should word it. In the 90s, of course, now he's at the age, he's at the same level. He's now doing prostitution like the Poor Things girl. Frankenberry, he's doing fine. Don't worry about Frankenberry. That's why you won't see him around as much.
Okay. No, just like, once again, these are just kind of the natural questions that pop up. We don't want our listeners to be sitting there asking a question themselves that's not being answered. You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
What is the future of, I mean, so this is your job now. What does this look like day to day? What is the future for Captain Crunch look like if you're no longer working on cereal or coming up with new flavors? Or,
well, I spend my day drinking strawberry milk out on my farm where I'm growing lots of new berries, crunch berries, of course, a little bit of huckleberry, but then I'll be also milking some cows. And, yeah, just having lots of crazy wild sex with the mascots.
So it sounds like you're still doing the cereal stuff. You're growing the berries still?
Well, I mean, this is more of a private, you know, it's like, have you seen Star Trek with the Picard show? It's like that. You know, Captain Kirk, he retired, or Captain Jean-Luc Picard, he retired, but now he has his own winery. That's me, okay? I am retired from cereal. I am done from cereal, and now I am now opened up my own farm where I'm making my own berries, my own Captain Crunch berries, and I'm just enjoying my life drinking strawberry milk and having
this
sex with mascots.
Phrasing like this makes a lot more sense to me. You're retired. I think saying I'm pivoting my career from cereal to polyamory was very confusing, but now that I understand, you're saying I retired and now I'm just sort of like having sexual escapades with my friends. That's fine.
Did I say I was... Oh, I'm sorry. I am pivoting, career pivot.
You said it was a career change, and then you emphasized that, yeah, this is like, you are professionally promoting polyamory, but it kind of sounds like you are isolating on a farm, and you and the other cereal mascots are just sort of going crazy with each other.
Well, yeah, correct. Sorry, it was a wrong choice of words, but I like to, career change, retiring. It's, you know, tomato.
Yeah, just the words meaning different things, I think, was what threw us off. But yeah, I guess tomato, tomato, different word, different meaning. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, career change. I'm still going to be, focusing my efforts on polyamory and trying to go to different.
That much you've made clear.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That you're still going to keep your focus on polyamory. Okay. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Captain Crunch. Is there anyone you're a fan of that you'd love to give a shout out to, or anything you want to promote besides yourself, of course?
I would love to. I would love to give a shout out to Booberry. I know you and my son have a history, but you know you'll always be my main squeeze. I love you, Booberry. I may see through you, but you've always seen me.
And anyone worth following on Instagram or Twitter or any of those?
Good point. Yes, there's a funny comedian I follow on Instagram and TikTok. His handle is SS Horwitz. That's SSHORWITZ, and he's on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. And he does a show, bi-monthly show at the Elysian Theater. The next one is March 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Elysian Theater. It's a Saturday. Or actually, it's 8 p.m. I'm sorry, 8 p.m. It's a new time slot on Saturday.
All right. Be sure to look that up, and it'll probably be tagged if I know how that usually works. But thank you so much to Captain Crunch for being on, for enlightening us on your new career. Thank you to our producer, Karen.
And don't forget, we've got to announce the new mascot, the new official Jock Doc Animal of the Year. We will give you the answer next week. Oh,
yeah. And it's going to be even funnier because it'll be a callback 2 weeks after we first said that we would do it. So, wow. Okay. And thank you to Digital House.